Bow your hearts before Almighty Yahweh's throne of grace. Father Yahweh, we come before you on this your holy Sabbath day to give glory to you and to thank you, Father, for another Sabbath day, an opportunity to come before you for another day of rest, Father, at the end of the week, so that we can recharge our batteries and strengthen our bodies, Father, with the rest that you've given us. We also ask, Father, that you would open our hearts and minds to receive the implanted word that you prepared for us this day. May it be filling and give us the wisdom and the knowledge, Father, that you've prepared for each and every one of us. Touch our hearts and cause us to understand what you want us to understand, Father, that you would have us walk in the direction of your kingdom. We thank you, Father, for the great sacrifice of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. We know that this has been a tough week for many, and we ask, Father, that you would touch hearts, touch bodies, that you would heal your people, that you would bless those that have a petition before you on the prayer list. And, Father, you know, even before we ask our needs, and, Father, I know that you are answering even before we ask. So we thank you and give glory to your name, and we ask, Father, that you would bless this ministry. And bless this message. In the name of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, we pray. Hallelujah. This message is entitled, A Holy Relationship. Do we have a holy relationship with our spouses and Yahweh? That's a question that I'm going to put before you today. And the reason I'm asking this question is because this past week we had a funeral for a young child that died who belonged to Angie Pinero. And we talked a little bit about this situation and why these things happen. But, you know, we're gonna look at the scriptures and deal with a little bit more of what Yahweh wants us to understand. We're going to start in Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. And we'll start in verse 1. It says, when Yahweh your Elohim shall bring you into the land you are entering into to possess it, and shall cast out many nations before you, the Hittite, the Girgashite, the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, and the Havite, and the Jebusite, seven nations greater and mightier than you. And when Yahweh your Elohim shall deliver them up before you, and you shall defeat them, then you shall utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenants with them, nor show mercy unto them, neither shall you make marriages with them. Your daughter you shall not give to his son, nor his daughter shall you take to your son, for he will turn away your son from following me, that they may serve other Elohim. So we see here Yahweh is telling us that we're not supposed to have relationships with the people of the nations because they will turn our daughters and sons away from Yahweh. So the anger of Yahweh be kindled against you, and he will destroy you quickly. But you shall deal with them in this manner. You shall break down their altars and shall dash in pieces their pillars, and hewn down their asherim and burned their carved images with fire. For you are a holy people to Yahweh your Elohim. Yahweh your Elohim has chosen you to be a people for his own possession above all the nations that are on the face of the earth. Yahweh did not set his love upon you or choose you because you are more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because Yahweh loved you and because he desired to keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, has Yahweh brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondage from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Therefore know that Yahweh your Elohim, he is Elohim, the faithful El, who keeps covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations, and repays them that hate him to their face. To destroy them, he will not be slack to him that hates him. He will repay him to his face. You shall therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the ordinances which I command you this day to do them. So Almighty Yahweh is telling us that we aren't that special. We're special because he chose us, not because of anything that we've done. Okay? And we're supposed to have a holy relationship with him. And that special relationship, we know that David was a man after Yahweh's own heart. And he had a special relationship with Almighty Yahweh. Turn over to 2 Samuel chapter 12. We're going to start in verse 1, get the full context of what the passage is teaching. And Yahweh sent Nathan to David. And he came to him and said to him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had very many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had brought and nourished, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It ate of his own morsel and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was to him as a daughter. And there came a traveler to the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress it for the wayfaring man that had come to him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that had come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as Yahweh lives, the man that has done this is worthy to die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. Now, to restore it fourfold is from Exodus 22:1, where if someone steals someone else's lamb or whatever it is, they're supposed to restore it fourfold. And David was quoting the scripture. In verse 7, and Nathan said to David, you are the man. In this manner, says Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you out of the hand of Saul. And I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your bosom, and gave you the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would have added to you such and such things. Why have you despised the word of Yahweh to do that which is evil in his sight? You have struck Uriah the Hittite with the sword and have taken his wife to be your wife and have killed him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. In this manner, says Yahweh, behold, I will raise up evil against you out of your own house, and I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of the sun, for you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And Nathan said to David, I have sinned against Yahweh. And Nathan said to David, Yahweh has put away your sin. You shall not die. However, because by this deed you have given great occasion to the enemies of Yahweh to blaspheme. And this is what happens when we sin, brethren. We give the enemies of Yahweh an opportunity to blaspheme against Yahweh. The child also that is born to you shall surely die. And Nathan departed to his house. And Yahweh struck the child that Uriah's wife bore to David. And it was very sick. David therefore supplicated Elohim for the child. And David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. And the elders of his house arose and stood beside him to raise him up from the earth, but he would not, neither did he eat bread with them. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, behold, while the child was yet alive, we spoke to him, and he listened not to our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead? But when David saw that his servants were whispering together, David perceived that the child was dead. And David said to his servants, "Is the child dead?" And they said, "He is dead." Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel. And he came into the house of Yahweh and he worshiped. And then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him and he ate. Then his servants said to him, "What thing is this that you have done? You fasted and wept for the child while it was yet alive. And when the child was dead, you arose and ate bread." And he said, "While the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, 'Who knows whether Yahweh will not be gracious to me that the child may live? But now the child is dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he will not return to me.'" And David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and went into her and lay with her. And she bore a son, and he called his name Solomon. And Yahweh loved him, and he sent by the hand of Nathan the prophet, and he called his name Yedidiah, for Yahweh's sake. Now, we see a difference here from the beginning of this relationship, because when David originally laid or had this first child with Bathsheba, she was not his wife, but she became his wife after the fact. He went from an unholy relationship with this woman to a holy relationship, even though he violated and sinned against Yahweh. And this is what we don't want to do. We want to have a holy relationship with Yahweh at all times. But it seems that we try to justify what we do, brethren, in our lives. We know that Yahweh has certain things set in order. He has a particular order of things that how we're supposed to live our lives. We're supposed to keep all the covenant, all the commandments. And David violated the covenant by having Uriah the Hittite put to death, even though it wasn't by his own sword. But he conspired so that he could have this man's wife. Now, who knows whether he would have died anyway in the battle? I'm saying without David doing this. You understand what I'm saying? Yahweh may have had this intended that Solomon, because Solomon became king, you know, out of all the sons and the children that David had throughout these with these other women. We have to maintain a holy relationship. And what I was trying to talk to Angie and Gabby about and some of the other young people is that the relationships that we seem to have out there aren't always holy relationships, because if Yahweh is not involved in the relationship, if it's not proper, it's not going to be a holy relationship. One, we should be married one to the other before we start having children. And we know a lot of us didn't. And, you know, that's something that we have to deal with. And like I said, we've repented of those that have it in our past. But we try to be a good example to our young people so that they can understand that these relationships outside of marriage are an unholy relationship. They're not of Yahweh. Yet they want to receive blessings of Yahweh. So to have a holy relationship, it's got to be of Yahweh and the commandments. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And this is a chapter that deals with marriage and things concerning marriage. I was teaching over in Africa a principle here that some of the leaders didn't understand. We'll start in verse 1. It says, "Now concerning the things of which you wrote, it is good for a man not to touch a woman, but because of fornication, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband, so that they're not in an unholy relationship. Let the husband render to the wife her due, and likewise also the wife to the husband. The wife has not power over her own body, but the husband. And likewise, the husband has not power over his own body, but the wife. Defraud you not one another, except it be by consent for a season." That word is moedim, which is a spiritual season, "that you may give yourselves to prayer." So during the holy days, during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, doing tabernacles, and right before Pentecost, or during the weekly Sabbath, you're not supposed to engage in sexual relations. You're supposed to give yourself to be in a holy relationship with Yahweh. Okay, you don't want to be unclean, and that's what happens. And this is why preparations are made or taken between husband and wife to make sure that they abstain from sexual relationships during that time. Okay? It says in verse 5, defraud you not one another, except it be by consent for a moedim, or a season, a holy season, that you may give yourselves to prayer, and may be together again, that Satan tempt you not because of your incontinence. But this I say by way of concession, not of commandment. Yet I wish that all men were even as I myself. However, each man is his own gift from Yahweh, one after this manner and another after that. But I say to the unmarried and to the widows, it is good for them that if they remain even as I. But if they have not continency, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. And it's not saying, go in and have relationships anyway. It's saying, get married. He's trying to say, have a holy relationship. Make it of Yahweh so that you'll receive the blessing. But to the unmarried, in verse 10, I give charge, not I but Yahweh, that the wife depart not from her husband. But should she depart, let her remain unmarried, or else be reconciled to her husband. And that the husband leave not the wife, but the rest I say, not Yahweh. If any brother has an unbelieving wife, and she is content to dwell with him, let him not leave her. And the woman that has an unbelieving husband, and he is content to live with her, let her not leave her husband. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified in the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified in the brother. Else were your children unclean, but now they are holy. So these children are holy because of the believing brother or sister in the relationship. It doesn't say both of them have to be baptized. It's talking about the one over the other. So Yahweh is telling us that these children are holy because of the relationship of that brother with him or sister. Yet if the unbelieving departs, let him depart. The brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases. But Yahweh has called us in peace. For how do you know, O wife, whether you shall save your husband? Or how do you know, O husband, whether you shall save your wife? Only as Yahweh has distributed to each man, as Yahweh has called us, so let him walk. And so I ordain in all the assemblies, was any man called being circumcised, let him not become uncircumcised. Has any been called uncircumcised, let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of Yahweh, that's everything, brethren. We have to have a holy relationship with Yahweh. We have to have a holy relationship with our spouse. It says in verse 20, let each man remain in the calling in which he was called. Were you called being a bondservant? Care not for it. No, even if you become free, use it rather. For he that was called in Yahweh being a bondservant is Yahweh's freedman. Likewise, he that is called being free is the Messiah's bondservant. You were brought with a price, and that price is the blood of Yahshua. Become not bondservants of men. Brethren, let each man in which he was called remain in it with Yahweh. We have to maintain a holy relationship with our Savior and our Father in heaven and our spouse. Think about it. If you violate the relationship you have with your spouse, if you go out and commit adultery, you violated that holy relationship. And if you violate that holy relationship, it's very difficult to repair. It's not impossible, but it's very difficult, see, because you entered into that commitment because you say you love this woman or you love this man. And you think about the relationship that you're in. Is it an unholy relationship? If it's not of Yahweh, it is. And you have to change it. Yahweh, you see, people don't give Yahweh credit. They don't trust Yahweh enough. They don't understand that Yahweh can do all things. There's nothing impossible for Yahweh. He brings people around that you would never think would come around and serve him. I'm going to continue in verse 25. It says, now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of Yahweh, but I give my judgment as one that have obtained mercy of the master to be trustworthy. I think therefore that it is good by reason of the distress that is upon us, namely that it is good for a man to be as he is. Are you bound by a wife? Seek not to be loose. Are you loose from a wife? Seek not a wife. But should you marry, you have not sinned. If a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Yet such shall have tribulation in the flesh, and I wish to spare you. Because Paul could see what was coming down the pike. When you join with someone else, you are divided against Yahweh. If you're single, you can give yourself completely to Yahweh. But when you have a spouse, you're divided because you're concerned about that spouse and their needs. It says here, verse 29, but this I say, brethren, the time is shortened, that from here on those who have wives may be as though they had none, and those that weep as though they wept not, and those that rejoice as though they rejoiced not, and those that buy as though they possess not, and those that use the world as not using it to the full. For the fashion of this world passes away. But I would have you to be free from cares. He that is unmarried is careful for the things of Yahweh, how he may please Yahweh. But he that is married is careful for the things of the world, how he may please his wife, and is divided. So also the woman that is unmarried and the virgin is careful for the things of Yahweh, that she may be holy, both in body and spirit. And she that is married is careful for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I say for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is seemly, that you attend upon Yahweh without distraction, because time is short, brethren. But, you know, we still have to work. We still have to eat. We have to take care of things in our daily lives. But we have to trust Yahweh, because what happens when that's no longer able to happen, when it's no longer necessary? See, when the tribulation strikes, everything's out the window. We have to completely trust in Yahweh. We have to trust in that holy relationship that we have with the Father on high. Verse 36, it says, but if any man thinks that he behaves himself unseemly toward his virgin, if she is past the flower of her age and if need so requires, let him do what he will. He does not sin, let them marry. But he that stands steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but has power as touching his own will, and has determined this in his own heart, to keep his own virgin daughter, shall do well. So then, both he that gives his own virgin daughter in marriage does well, and he that does not give her in marriage shall do better. A wife is bound for so long as time as her husband lives. But if the husband is dead, she is free to be married to whom she will, only in Yahshua. See, there's the key. Only in Yahshua. But she is happier if she lives as she is, after my judgment, and I think that I also have the spirit of Yahweh. And truly, Paul did have the spirit of Yahweh. And like I said, the reason I went into this is because my wife and I was talking about a friend, actually of our oldest daughter, and she was a friend of the family. Her and her husband lost a child at around the same time my daughter, Kaya, lost her child. And matter of fact, they were at Hershey Medical Center when we were there. And that's a very, very tough thing to do. It's very hard on a relationship to lose a child. But if you don't have a solid relationship, a holy relationship, and have Yahweh as a part of it, it becomes very, very difficult to maintain that relationship. And I'm not saying that there aren't problems in relationships even prior to this. But what I'm saying is that if you have Yahweh as a part of that relationship, it will strengthen it. So when I was talking to Angie and Gabby, who lost a little boy, Angel, Gabriel, I was trying to instill upon them that they have to have a holy relationship. They have to understand that Yahweh has to be first in their lives. And it's going to be very difficult to overcome what they've gone through. But they can overcome it. Yahweh can bless them. You know, David's relationship with Bathsheba started in an unholy relationship, but became a holy relationship because he did marry her. And they did end up having a child. And that child became king. So there's a transition between the point A to point B. But the transition has to be with Yahweh. He has to be the key point of that relationship. Turn over to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew 19, we'll start in verse 3. It says, "And there came to him Pharisees trying him." See, that's the key there. They were trying Yahshua and saying, "Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause?" And see, that explains it right there. Trying him, and is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? No. Yahshua explains to them. In verse 4 it says, "And he answered and said, Have you not read that he who made them from the beginning made them male and female? And he said, For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall adhere to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." See, the two shall become one flesh in a holy relationship. They become one flesh. They join together in marriage, holy matrimony. Verse 6, so that they are no more two but one flesh. What therefore Yahweh has joined together, let no man put asunder. They say to him, "Why then did Moses command to give a bill of divorcement and to put her away?" He says to them, "Moses, for your hardness of heart, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning it has not been so. And I say to you, whoever shall put away his wife except for fornication." There is an exception, brethren. It says here, for fornication, porneia. So if the husband or wife step outside that relationship and they have a relationship with someone else, they break that relationship, that holy relationship, and give the other party a right to divorce. Okay? "And shall marry another commits adultery. And he that marries her when she is put away commits adultery. The disciples say to him, if the case of the man is so with his wife, it is not expedient to marry." It's not if you have a bad motive. If you don't love the woman and you want to just go from woman to woman, it's not expedient to marry. "But he said to them, not all men can receive this saying, but they to whom it is given. For there are eunuchs that are so born from their mother's womb, and there are eunuchs that were made eunuchs by men, and there are eunuchs that made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it." If we love our wives, it's not an issue. There's not a problem. You know, people will fall from time to time. There's an issue. But the issue is forgiveness. If you love this person, you know, are you willing to forgive them? Or are you going to become bitter to the extent that you, you know, can't deal with it? No. That person violated the covenant, that holy relationship that they had with me and with Yahweh. And guess what? It's your decision. You can divorce or you can forgive. See? But it's up to you. See, the key, like I said there, was Satan was trying him. Satan was using them, but the key, Satan is going to try every one of you. What type of relationship do you have with Yahweh? Sex was given to strengthen the marriage bond Sex outside of marriage creates a bond, but without Yahweh. And the bond is no longer holy. And we know that sin separates. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. Be not deceived. Evil companionships corrupt good morals. Awake to soberness, righteously, and sin not. For some have no knowledge of Yahweh. I speak this to move you to shame. We have a knowledge of Yahweh, brethren. We have a holy relationship with him. But we have to understand that sin separates us from Yahweh. If we sin against our partner, it separates us from our partner. And we end up with an unholy relationship. Turn to Isaiah chapter 59. We'll read verses 1 through 4. It says, behold, Yahweh's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. So Yahweh can take us and save us through any situation, brethren, because he's given us the ability to understand through his word. It says, Yahweh's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. If we have a holy relationship with Yahweh, he's going to hear our prayers. He doesn't hear the prayers of sinners, brethren. It's the repentant sinner, the righteous man that he hears the prayers of. But verse 2, your iniquities, your sins, have separated between you and your Elohim, and your sins have hid his face from you, so that he will not hear. So if we're sinning against Yahweh or we're in an unholy relationship, he's not going to hear our prayers. He's not going to give us the desires of our heart. Verse 3, it says, for your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue mutters wickedness. No one calls for righteousness and no one pleads in truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. And that's what happens when we sin against Yahweh and enter into an unholy relationship. The complications are staggering. Look at the layers of problems that are created when we sin against Yahweh. Think about that, brethren. You know, you have people who start out with one person and they have children. Then they end up with someone else and they have children with that relationship. And it creates more complications. And it continues to go on. And what happens is that people don't realize that they're the variable that is creating the problems in relationship one, relationship two, relationship three. And instead of dealing with their problems in themselves, they take themselves and their problems from one relationship to another. And if we trust Yahweh and we believe in him enough, we will allow him to solve those problems in our lives. But we have to be willing to yield in a holy relationship with him, because we're supposed to be a holy people, which means we're keeping the covenant. If we do that which is right, we will have the strength and the knowledge and the ability to overcome the problems that are in our lives on a daily basis. Those complications will be eliminated. Because we're not going to be sinning against Yahweh, going from one relationship to the next. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, we know this is the Shema. But I want to start in verse 1, and we're going to read down through verse 9. It says, now this is the commandment, the statutes and the ordinances which Yahweh Elohim commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land in which you are going over to possess it, that you might fear Yahweh your Elohim, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, and your son, and your son's son, all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with you, and that you may increase mightily as Yahweh, the Elohim of your fathers, has promised you in the land flowing with milk and honey. Now, as a man with daughters, okay, you think about, we're not supposed to have prostitutes of our daughters. In Israel, it was a sin for the daughters to be out there, or the sons, involved in illicit relationships. Because you think about it, you don't want your daughters to be considered harlots. You don't want your sons to be temple prostitutes as well. But that's what was going on in Israel. See? And the price of those you couldn't bring in for an offering. And yet, this is what Baal worship tried to introduce into Israel. They wanted to take the relationship between Yahweh and the people from a holy relationship to an unholy relationship. That's why Baal Peor was such an offense. And so many people died in that plague until Phinehas took the spear and stuck it through the prince of Israel and this princess of Moab, this woman of Moab, which stopped the plague because they were having relationships with these sexual relationships with these Moabites. Any relationship that's not sanctioned of Yahweh, any, is outside the body. It's a sinful relationship. It has to be sanctioned to be a holy relationship. Husband and wife. Verse 4 says, "Hear, O Israel, Yahweh is our Elohim, Yahweh is one." Just like the husband and the wife are supposed to come together and be one flesh. "And you shall love Yahweh, your Elohim, with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words which I command you this day shall be upon your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and they shall be frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them upon the door post of your house and on your gate." In speaking to some of the young men that we were talking to over in Kenya, I talked to a group of young men, and we were talking about, and these young men are baptized, and they are looking for wives within the faith. They're not looking outside the faith, and they're looking for holy relationships because they know that if they take someone outside the faith, that that person would draw them away from Yahweh. But we even talked about premarital sex and things of that nature. And they realize that they have to keep themselves pure to serve Yahweh, you know. And we talked about sin, and we talked about a lot of things. But what happens is that, you know, our physical nature sometimes try to overcome the spiritual nature. But that's where the Holy Spirit comes in, and that's why it's so important to have Yahweh's Holy Spirit and to have a holy relationship with Yahweh and the spouse that he gives you. Because then you're at one. You're at one with Yahweh because he's a part of that relationship each and every day, each and every way that your relationship evolves. It's easy to sin. But you know what? You fall into an unholy relationship and you create a situation where you give the enemies of Yahweh an opportunity to blaspheme against Yahweh. And you try to make Yahweh look bad. And Satan wants you to do that. But we have to be faithful in everything that we do, brethren. We have to be faithful in trying to maintain a holy relationship, not only with our spouse, but with Yahweh. So when you look for a mate, young people, you look for somebody. You trust Yahweh, you pray about it, but you look for somebody that is seeking Yahweh. And he will bless you with someone that's going to put you on the pedestal and say you were worth it. You know, you not that you have to play hard to get, but you, if you are a special young lady and you believe you deserve somebody special, trust Yahweh and he'll send you that someone special. If you're easy, as some of these young ladies are out in the street, and you think about that, the relationship, are they going to have a lasting relationship? And a lot of it comes from how they were raised, and yes, problems with their fathers and their upbringing. But when they come to the knowledge of Yahweh, they have to establish a relationship with him, a holy relationship between Almighty Yahweh and themselves and Yahshua and themselves. And then Yahweh will bless them, regardless of their past. He will bless them with what they need because Yahweh's arm is not shortened. He can give us whatever we desire, whatever we have need of, but we have to be faithful to him first. We have to seek to do his will first and foremost in our lives, and we have to want to be a part of Almighty Yahweh's kingdom, which is soon coming upon this earth. Now, each and every one of us has an opportunity at a holy relationship where we are. We have to trust Almighty Yahweh that he's going to bless us, that he's going to touch our lives so that we can be in the kingdom of Yahweh. And truly, he will. If you're faithful, if you have a holy relationship, he's going to bless you to be. At this time, I'd like to ask Brother Charlie, if he would close with a word of prayer. You there, Charlie?
I'm here.
Would you close with a word of prayer for us?
Yeah. Father Yahweh, thank you for bringing our little group together again on your holy Sabbath day. We thank you, and we ask you to bless all of us, grant us good health, and please, Father, reveal all your truth to us so that we may learn and keep it. And I ask this petition in Yahshua's most holy name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.